Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm joined with none other than my man, The Professor. What's up?
What's happening, boss? What's going on?
I'm feeling great coming off of this Super Bowl one win for my birds. I'm good. I am straight.
Whatever.
I will not be going to the parade tomorrow. I mean, on Thursday, though.
Yo, because only psychopaths are going down that parade.
Yeah, today. That's going to be ridiculous, man.
Thursday, rather. Like, that's Bud Light is sponsoring the parade and giving free beer out along the path. You're going to have that parade. You are taking your life in your hand.
The savagery that will ensue.
Satan burned down Sunday night. It damn sure may on Thursday.
Man, I'm telling you, it's like that. That's a dangerous combination. I mean, we saw what people were doing Super Bowl after Super Bowl after the Super Bowl happened. Like, I mean, there's videos of cats eating horse poo.
I was just gonna say, a grown man shoved his face in a pile of horse poo and came up with a road apple. That's a taste you don't get out of your mouth anytime soon. That just ain't gonna happen.
Nah.
I woke up the next morning going, "What the? What is
going that on gritty? Here? Oh no!
we got to move on.
all right. Man. So yeah, let's move on to some geek news. we're gonna break it down. You know, go through the weekend box office like we normally do. Move into some news. We got a special fan cast for you guys today. I'm sure you're gonna enjoy it. So, you know, let's dig right in. So, jumping off of the weekend, we got the weekend box office. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is leading the pack, making $10.9 million, man, after this weekend. That's crazy.
Jump back into that top spot. Maybe
bumped
it down for 1 week, and then, you know, I guess, you know, Maze Runner didn't seem to get a whole lot of press, so at least a whole lot of props, maybe even be, might be a better choice of words. So, you know, Jumanji just stepped up and knocked it back down again. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
Granted, there hasn't been a whole lot else that's come out to kind of knock it down other than Maze Runner. Maze Runner only got 1 week above it, and that was it. So,
yeah, man. They're hitting $899 million worldwide. That's crazy, man.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that's man. It's like, yeah, there's really nothing. There really was nothing new coming out this past weekend. We talked about it last week. We talked about Winchester. Yep. Seemed creepy, but yeah. I mean, I feel like the horror genre doesn't really have like a huge fan base, but there are the, you know, they're the people that'll go out and bring in steady money as long as the budget is the way that it needs to be. You know, horror films make steady money, but nothing where it's gonna top the charts, I guess. So this Jumanji jumping back up to number one is unbelievable, man. That's good for them, you know.
Yeah.
Maze Runner, like you said, I was just like, the advertisement was kind of weak, and I mean, it just was okay as a film. Like, it finished the story, but it wasn't like it brought anything new to the table. It wasn't like it they didn't pull as stronger a crowd as they did with the first one, maybe even the second one. So, you know, it's to be expected.
I don't know if they had a lot of faith in it. You know, I mean, the first one when it came out was big because it was I think it's a book, right? It's a Divergent series based on books.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it had a lot of hype. The first one when it came out was all over the place, you know, TV ads and all that stuff. And then the next two, when you really haven't heard anything, this one, you barely hear anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, Winchester did respectably. I mean, it only finished basically a million, almost just under 2 million less than Jumanji did, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, only about a million worse than Maze Runner. So it did respectably for, you know, a movie that also doesn't really have a whole lot of press going out about it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Not too bad. So,
yeah,
not
too bad at all.
Yeah, pretty solid box office weekend. So, you know, excited to see the weekends to come. We'll talk about what's coming out next week by the end of the show. So, let's move on to the geek news of the week. We got some movie news up first. A lot of movie news coming off of last week, especially with the Super Bowl. A lot of the advertisements. We got to see a lot of trailers. So let's move into some of the trailers that came out early last week. We got a Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer that came out.
I am already in on this. That trailer is awesome.
Yeah, the trailer was great. I mean, you can obviously see that there's some new characters that they're introducing in Bill Foster. And then you got Then you got, what was Ghost? Was that the character?
Ghost, I believe, is the bad guy who looked really, really cool.
Yeah, and just now
the look of it was really nice.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing though, Ghost is going to be. I know Ghost is all in the comics has always been a male, but this Ghost is going to be a female. So
okay,
I'm actually kind of excited to see who this is. I'm wondering if it's going to be like a huge plot twist because we didn't see the original Wasp. Who's playing her? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't see her in the trailer. So you know that may mean something that a twist that'll come later. But who knows? Just making a theory.
So. And it's an interesting villain to throw in there too. I mean, I've only seen a handful of times in the comics. Usually, I think in Iron Man was where Ghost was kind of big. It recently was in the Spider-Man comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of Oh, I just had the phrase in my head, now I lost it. It's a character that people hire to go into businesses and like steal all their data.
Oh, things
like
that. Okay.
Like it's a super super corporate thief kind of thing.
Nice.
You know, it can slip in past any security, get into a back end system, and download all the information, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it goes, you know, the character goes intangible, so it can't be killed, can't be shot. You know, everything passes right through it. So it's kind of a neat. It's almost kind of maybe like they're doing this in reverse as opposed to the first movie where they're breaking in to try to stop the Yellow Jacket technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this one's going to be more like they're trying to stop Ghost from corporate espionage. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that's kind of they're going to be trying to stop the Ghost from doing what it's doing. So that could be a really cool kind of twist.
Yeah, that'll be dope. And yeah. it's a good play on the plot from the original. So yeah. It's like, you know. I'd be looking forward to that. That'll be cool. And as long as we get some Michael Peña action in there, retelling stories, I'm good. Next up on the news, the Black Panther purple carpet premiere, man. Star-studded premiere. It was just excellent. Just peak black excellence on the purple carpet, man.
The boss dropped a tear, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I was definitely just amazed at, to me, in my opinion, just like Hollywood royalty that was on that carpet, man. It was crazy. Like, everybody was there.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at reviews from a lot of the other podcasts that I listen to, some of the other movie review sites that I check out. Everybody's just singing this movie's praises. It's poignant. It has a message, but it still carries the story of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what we're going to be looking to see there, coming up to Avengers Infinity War, man. But I'm just excited. Like, it was definitely, this was an event. Like, this premiere was an event. It was incredible. Like, to see the guys out there on the drums, like Chadwick, when he came up on the scene, he comes out just stunting. Like, the limo pulls up, he pulls out, and then they playing the drums and stuff while he steps out of the car. Like, it was just, oh man, it was crazy.
Why will Disney do it right, man?
They definitely do, man. It was incredible. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. 10 days, folks. 10 more days until we get to see Wakanda in our on the big screen and get to see these characters come to life. I'm so excited, man. I'm telling you,
this in 10 days, bro.
10 days, bro. Hit not. You know what I'm saying? Just knock it back real quick. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I was like, I've started now. Like, whenever I just talk to people, I'm just like, hey, all right. Well, I'm out of here. Peace, Wakanda forever. And I just dip out.
Of course you do.
Yo, I love it.
I have to imagine at least 50% of people go, what the hell is Wakanda? What are you doing?
I get a couple like double takes, then I get a couple like, oh yeah, Wakanda forever. So yeah, man. I think a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of people that are super excited for this film. I mean, I cannot wait. It's gonna be an event. I got all my hoodies lined up. I'm still trying to get my dashiki game on. I had one lined up, man, but they sold out of them Johns, so I can't even get them. So I'm going to have to find some kind of alternative. I feel like I'm settling because that shirt was nice, but, you know, it's all good.
Oh, my God.
Whew, I'm excited.
I can tell.
So next up in the movie news, this is interesting news. Tom Hanks is going to be set to star in a Mr. Rogers biopic titled You Are My Friend. So
I have nothing against Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks. But who's calling for this? Who's calling for a Mr. Rogers biopic pick?
It's like who asked for this?
Who wants this?
Yo, I'm not going to hold you. I'm kind of interested in this. I mean, I haven't really watched. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't watched a Tom Hanks film since The Da Vinci Code. You know what I'm saying? So this is something that I'm kind of like interested in. I mean, I watched Green Mile. I watched Castaway. Da Vinci Code, the first one in the sequel. There was a third one too.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that one. I think Angels and Demons. I don't think I ever saw the third
one. Yeah, I think I saw the third one, but I completely forgot about it. So it's like all the other ones that he's been doing, you know, where basically he just finds himself in the worst situations. I haven't really seen. Like the famous one where he's like, I'm the captain now. I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, so, you know, even the Captain Phillips, I haven't seen that one. So
right.
I'll probably go and see this one, only because I grew up with Mr. Rogers and loved the show when I was a kid. That's where I learned how to moonwalk. I learned how to swim. So, yeah, it holds a special place in my heart.
All right, fair enough.
So, yeah. So, any more news that comes out about that, we'll keep you guys posted and let you know how the production goes. Next up here, we got some Gambit news, which is not really surprising at all. Production has been placed on hold yet again.
Because they lost another director.
Ah, man. I mean, this is not a good sign. This is not a good sign at all.
We talked about it before. It's just not, I don't think it's popular enough a character to give its own movie without a better introduction than Wolverine Origins.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just as much as what's his name, you know, wants to do the movie. Mm-hmm. I forget his name.
Channing Tatum. Yeah.
Badly as he wants to do the movie. Like we said last time we talked about, the best thing this guy could do is do the Deadpool route. Get something together. Get some kind of clip from the movie they think is going to be hot. Film it. Put some effects to it. And quote unquote leak it out to the world,
right?
And see if it gains that ground like Deadpool did. Now people are going to realize that's what they're doing, but if it works, it works. You know what I mean?
Right.
But this movie is like we've lost like three or four directors now. It's been, you know, production's been put on hold three or four times, and they've been talking about it for 4 or 5 years. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm just like, at this point, the only option would be to leak some footage. You have to garner some kind of following. Like right now, we don't know what to expect from this, so nobody's really interested.
Right.
But I know that this movie has potential. Like the epic love story that Remy has in his origin story, watching this thief guild in the backdrop of mysterious and mystical New Orleans. Like, this has potential to be a solid film and garner a lot of interest from a wide range of fans. You know what I'm saying? So it's just they're going to have to bring it stronger. They're going to have to leak something. They're going to have to give us something to get us interested. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, if you're going to introduce a solo character who we've been originally introduced in an ensemble, it's best to just introduce him in the ensemble first and give us his backstory. You know what I'm saying? Unless you try to build all of these characters up until where they like where Gambit, you know, finally joins the X-Men type of deal, you know, but it's just trying to hit this off the bat, like without somebody as recognizable as like Wolverine. Wolverine can do his own solo. He can do a solo film and be introduced because he's a character that's most recognized and a fan favorite. You know what I'm saying? Right. But somebody like Gambit, it's going to be a little bit harder, you know? So I don't know, man.
They've only got till December to try and work something out. Because come December, the mouse takes over. When the mouse takes over, if you ain't got it going, it is gone.
Yep. I think it would be in its best interest to just stop. You know? Like, yeah, at this point, if you want to introduce Gambit in, like, an X-Men movie, then do that. But it's like, at this point, it's too late in the game. Like, I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, Deadpool did not take that long to shoot. I think they shot that film in a month, right?
It didn't take them long at all. Yeah. They finished it pretty quickly.
They finished it quickly, and then we got that movie almost, like a couple months later after it was finished production. So, you know, it's not like it's not possible, and you can do this movie with very practical effects. But I don't know. There's a lot of characters within Gambit's world that deserve, like, a grander stage. So, I don't know. I think it would be in its best interest for it to just hold out, let Marvel do what it's going to do with the X-Men, and just wait it out, you know?
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. All right, so next up on the news, we got some Glass news. So M. Night Shyamalan, you know, we've been waiting for this film for a while. I mean, I don't know if we were waiting for it, but I definitely got excited for it after Split. So we got Unbreakable, starring Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, almost like a practical superhero origin story. Yeah. And then we get a follow up a couple years later with Split, which I feel like is the return of M. Night Shyamalan, the guy that we all loved his films, the thriller aspect of it, the big reveals, and just the mystery and psychological torment that these movies give you. But so we get that, and then we get news that there's going to be a follow up, which is going to join the Unbreakable world with the Split world, and we're going to have Glass. So there's a 12-minute screening that Shyamalan did over the past week. And he said, I believe it was a tweet. He said it received a gracious reaction. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It sounds positive, but I don't know. I mean, I would expect a reaction to be like, you know, positive, aurorous, or whatever you want to call it. Gracious reaction is kind of like, oh, well, it sucked, but they, you know, they gave me the benefit of the doubt.
Gracious reaction to me sounds like the audience was giving him a golf clap.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, well, I don't know what we just watched, but okay, yay. I mean, look, I'm gonna tell my side of it. You know, when you say we all love the other horror movies, no, we didn't.
Dang, no, I not liked, the other ones.
I liked The Sixth Sense. Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
Dang, you didn't like Unbreakable?
You know what? I'll be honest. I've only seen Unbreakable once or twice. It's been a long time since I watched it.
Yeah.
But I remember not really liking it all that much the first time I ever watched it. So I'd be willing to watch it again now to see if my opinion on it changed. But I remember not being a big fan of it since then. And I have literally not liked a single thing that man has done since.
Nah,
then.
Yeah, it's all been a crap storm.
Admittedly, I have not seen Split, so I can't really say much on that. But nothing else that guy has done has been worth, to me, has been good at all. So, I'm not one of those who's like on my toes waiting for Glass to come out again. Yeah. Partly because I haven't seen Split, I don't remember Unbreakable all that well. But I don't know. A lot of people like Unbreakable, so I do need to give it another chance. But
give it another chance.
In my head, I remember thinking this is just boring.
Oh, man, you didn't like this. My favorite scene in that movie is when Samuel L. Jackson is falling down the steps and breaks, like, literally every bone in his body.
Well, that's kind of a cool scene. But, like, just the whole thing where he's the bad guy and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. I haven't watched it in a long time. I'll watch it again maybe before Glass comes out. Maybe try to see Split. Yeah, I'm not really in line waiting on this one. I'll put it to you that way.
Man, I'll be honest with you. I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling right now is the same way I felt before The Last Airbender came out, and we all know how that turned out.
Disappointing. I remember you and A's were hyped for that movie, Airbender coming out, and I remember looking at the two of you going, Night like Shyamalan, don't get too excited.
I was like, no,
it's going to be good. It's going to be good. He's going to be fine.
I was like, the story is basically like, handed to this man. And we came out salty. Like, I really wanted a refund. Oh man, yeah, that was definitely a missed opportunity. So,
because yeah, we'll and that's really the only problem. It's like, I love Sixth Sense, but you can't really watch it more than once.
No, you can't.
Because I mean, the whole thing, by the end of the movie, the whole thing's done. Like, yeah, you can't that's really it. Go back. So
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will indeed tell. Oh man. So let's talk about these Super Bowl trailers, man. Yeah, so first up, Solo. We got a little teaser for Solo, a Star Wars story. Coming out Memorial Day. Sheesh.
Wow, is it really? Nice.
Yeah, it's coming out Memorial Day. So I was like floored at the date. So that's good news. That's always good news. I love the trailer. Like the images were great. We get to see the Millennium Falcon in its prime. We get to see Donald Glover as freaking Lando Calrissian, man. That boy looks smooth as coconut oil on the blackest man ever. Yo, then that's smooth. It don't get no smoother than that.
No, don't get no smoother than that. That's for sure.
And the man got the voice of Barry White. Like now that's smooth.
I'm going to let you have that one, even though I don't agree, because my man Barry, I'm going to let you have that one for this podcast.
Oh, man. But yeah, he looks good as Lando Calrissian, and I'm excited to see him in that role. The guy that's playing Han, I'm excited to see him in the role. Like, he looks like he's handling the role well, at least in the teaser that we saw. I'm interested to see who Emilia Clarke's character is going to be, so... Yeah, I'm interested. I'm excited to see this movie, so I'm good. I'm good with that trailer.
So I'll be honest. I liked some of the imagery in the trailer, like you were saying. I am slightly underwhelmed by the trailer,
mm-hmm.
partially because I don't know what is going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no kind of hint towards any kind of the story. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not much. I'd like to see maybe more, a little bit more of a coherent trailer than just what we got. But. You know, it's a Star Wars movie. I'm going to end up going to see it anyway. It doesn't really matter in the long run.
Yeah.
But I wasn't quite as blown away as I was by our next option on the list, so.
Yeah, man. Avengers Infinity War, man. I was sitting in the Super Bowl. That commercial came on. I was like, hey, everybody, silence. Silence. I need to hear this.
That movie just looks like it's going to be everything.
Yeah.
It just looks amazing.
If crack was a movie, it would be Avengers Infinity War. Get ready to get addicted real fast.
I mean, that's definitely going to be one I see at least 3 times opening weekend.
I'm guessing, man.
So we'll have to see. What's funny is the big fan theory going around the internet now. Have you seen this about the ending of the trailer?
No. What's the theory?
So the ending of the trailer has Thanos' face, right? And it's got like the scar across his face. There's 3 marks, like 3 slashes down the front of his face.
Yeah.
There are people now convinced that the 3 slashes are from Wolverine. And it's like, no, they're really not.
Too early. But, too early, I mean, guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting idea, but it's really not. No.
Yo, I think people have been waiting for this acquisition for so long that they're just, all right, put them in the movies now.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want them in tomorrow, and it's like, no, that can't happen.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I wouldn't put it past them, though, because they had the contingency plan for Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they said, okay, if we get them, we're going to do this. If we don't, it's okay, because we still have T'Challa to take that mantle, you know what I'm saying? But the reality of it is they were talking to Sony for a bit before the deal passed, and it's been the same way with Fox. So they've known for a while that they were going to do this.
Wolverine was in this movie, we'd know by now.
Yeah, I think something would have got leaked.
Something would have gotten leaked somewhere.
Unless it's some
post-credits, but I doubt it. I can't see it.
I can't see it. Like, I can't see that not being leaked at all. I can't see that not being spilled out on the internet.
That's too big.
Yeah. Because they couldn't keep that under wraps.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. Unless it's something that they did completely green screen. Now, if they did it and it's a scene that's completely green screen, they could bring somebody in, sneak somebody in, do the role, and then roll out. So they who could, knows?
But I mean, it'd be so hard to hide an actor who whatever would be taking over for Wolverine at this point.
Mm.
Like that would be so hard to hide that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna be I'm definitely saying I'm not buying this this rumor, but it's fun to think about. It's definitely
fun. Oh, absolutely fun to think about, but yeah. I don't buy it at all.
Nah. So the next movie up on the list, I mean, yo, let's talk. This is like the year of the Rock, the right? Rock Reconnaissance. Like this man is really on his way to be the next Samuel L. Jackson. He's like, I'm gonna be in everything. So I got daughters schooling to pay for.
I got bills to pay.
Right. So Skyscraper looks pretty interesting. It's in the Rock's wheelhouse. It's an action flick. Looks like not a disaster film, but it looks like some kind of, you know.
It's almost like a hostage film.
Yeah, like a hostage film. Yeah, it's like back to basics. You can see that. There's parts in the trailer where you see him flashback to when he's in the military. So this guy has some training. So we know that the stuff that he's going to be doing in here is stuff that he knows how to do. It's not something that he's going to just learn how to do in the heat of the moment. Because I hate those films too.
Yeah. You know?
So
yeah, he obviously loses a leg somewhere probably in his military service.
Yeah.
And that seems to be kind of a big focus point in the movie because they showed it like 4 times in just the trailer alone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's The Rock. It's going to be a fun action flick.
Yeah, it's going to make money. We know it's going to make bank.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know there's a lot of women out there that said, oh, The Rock? Oh, I'm down.
Yeah. It don't matter what the movie's about. We're going.
Oh, man. And the last trailer I saw for Super Bowl was Jurassic World 2 Fallen Kingdom, man. I'm definitely looking forward to this, man.
Like, I've never been a huge Jurassic Park fan. It's not that I'm not a fan. I just never really watched them. Mm-hmm. I did watch Jurassic World, and I did enjoy it. I'm a Chris Pratt fan, so.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'll go see it, more or less, you know, when it comes out. Like, I'm not hyped like I am for Infinity War, but I'll definitely check this out.
Yeah, man. I think they did a really good job at bringing this story back to focus and really, really nice, subtle homages to the original. So it's like you think more about Jurassic Park than you do think about Jurassic Park 2 and 3 and all of that. There's really nice homages to the original. So seeing as how we're also going to be getting Jeff Goldblum back, I'm definitely excited for this.
Yeah, that's
it's a major selling point.
That is definitely a big selling point, you know, to have him come back in and be part of that world again. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll definitely be fun.
Yeah. So let's jump right into TV news, because that's it for the movie news that we got. So TV news, first up, we got some Flash news. Max Adler, previous star from Fox's Glee, is going to be on The Flash as a pyro villain. Now, we don't know what villain he's going to be, but it's going to be some kind of fire related one. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
I was thinking it'd be the Firefly character, but I think he was already on Arrow. So I don't know if they would use that again.
Really? He was on Arrow?
Remember there was an episode in the first or second season where there was a guy who was a firefighter.
Oh, yeah.
Is like he got left behind in a fire or something. Yeah. So he was one by one killing everybody on his crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was supposed to be the Firefly character, but I don't remember
exactly. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I'll be interested to see. I mean, there's plenty of pyro villains in the DC universe, so.
Oh yeah, well, in both universes.
It's like when all else fails, pick an element and that's make right. it a hero or a villain.
Have we used a fire villain lately? No. All right, here we go.
Because they lost Heat Wave.
Scorch.
So.
Moving on. Yeah, true.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I mean, they've been casting a lot. Like, I'm gonna keep it funky with you. Like, all these characters that have been on Flash and Supergirl, like, most of these cats I've seen on, like, Glee. So I've seen all these characters on Glee. So I'm not surprised that Max Adler's coming over. He'll be a great addition. And I'm looking forward to seeing what character he plays, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's one of my more favorite shows. So
yeah. Next up, the Bad Boys spinoff TV show is still a go, and they've now cast Ernie Hudson in a role. And
this is with Gabrielle.
This is the Gabrielle Union spinoff. So we're going to be following. That was Martin Lawrence's sister in the last movie. I would not be surprised if Ernie Hudson is their dad. I would love for that to be
kid. It would fit.
Yeah, it would fit perfectly.
It would definitely fit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd definitely be interested to see what character he's playing. He might even be the director of whatever, you know, department she's a part of. But
yeah.
I would definitely like to see him as the dad in this show if this is where they're going with it. But yeah, like I said before, I'm excited about this show. I think it'll be a good addition. You know, you never fail with a procedural. You never really fail with a procedural, and it can go on forever. You can tell main arc stories, and you can tell subplot stories, and you're good to go, and it can last for seasons.
Right.
So, but apparently they're still going forward with the movie too. So, the movie may build and lead into the series. So who knows?
I was gonna say, it's not like Martin Lawrence doing anything these days. You can probably get him on the show.
Yeah, I mean, apparently I heard. I don't know. So there's video. There's video of him, to Gina Arnold, and I can't remember her name, but she played Gina on the original Martin show, and they're all together. And TMZ is like asking them, "So you guys are together? What's up? Are you guys gonna do a Martin reboot in the works?" And they're like trying to be tight-lipped about it, but I don't know, man. We might be getting Martin back on TV.
Can you really do Martin without Tommy?
I know. That's going to be rough, yo. That's going to be rough.
I mean, they'd have to address in the first episode that my man's gone.
They would have to. I don't know if they would just like, they would like, that's what brings them all back together. Or if it'd be something where he moved for work and they'll just make that a recurring joke because Tommy ain't got no job.
Yeah.
Oh, man, but that would be dope. So, I mean, so it looks like, you know, there's a couple of things, at least from Martin Lawrence, that's off in the works. And I'm looking forward to that Bad Boys spinoff because that'll be good. That'll be good. I need a nice little cop action procedural because SVU can drain you. It can really take a lot out of you.
It's a little too heavy.
Whew, gosh, man. Especially those riff from the headline shows, but I eat it up. I eat up that show. Like, I love it.
I haven't watched that in a long
time. Yeah, man. I was like, I can't even remember. I don't even remember how many seasons they've been on, but I've watched every season.
It's been a long
time. Yeah, man.
But a very long
time. Yup.
Which leads in nicely to our next little
bit. Yeah, you see how I did that? You see how I set that up?
That's pretty good. That's smooth. I like that.
So next up in the news, Happy, Sci-Fi's new addition, probably one of its better additions, in my opinion, is getting a second season, officially ordered.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man.
It was such a good show. It's so bizarre, but so good. I can't wait. I don't know what direction they'll go in season two, but I cannot wait to see it because it was, the first one was so bananas.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I gotta finish watching the pilot, but yeah, I'm in. I'm definitely in. let's see what's up next. So news for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. They're gonna be on hiatus for this month, the month of February. And it hurts. It hurts, man.
That does hurt because it was getting really, really
good. Yeah, because they definitely left us on a hanger. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Damn sure.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the TV reviews. But yeah, that's going to hurt. But once February ends and it comes back, I'll be the first one sitting in front of the TV. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, you bet. I got to know where this season's going.
Yeah, man. It's building up real nice. So, next up in the news, Black Lightning's showrunner is very excited about the Lightningverse, and that's what he kind of calls it there. And he's interested in trying to incorporate in some way or form Static Shock. He wants to introduce Static Shock, which would be pretty dope if they do that. I'm still holding out hope, though, that they're somehow going to incorporate this in the larger Arrowverse. I just feel like, and here's my thing, and you know what? I'll save this for the TV review, but I feel like they might be holding it open so that they could probably link it into the main Arrowverse. But if they don't, it's cool. It exists well on its own. I'm loving the show so far. I'm loving the dialogue. I'm loving the characters. I like the evolution of the suit. Like it literally is. Like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it literally is changing every week. They're adding something different to it, which I'm excited about.
So I'm a little behind because I forgot to set my DVR to record the show. Yeah. So I did tape last week, so I just said tonight's record tonight's. Haven't a chance to catch up on it yet, but I did enjoy the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I wonder, though, if he's trying to introduce Static Shock, do you think potentially one of the daughters, who doesn't one of the daughters show powers in one of the first episodes?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think the daughter maybe becomes Static Shock?
Oh, that would be interesting. I don't think they'll do it with the one who's developing powers now, because the nature of her powers right now are completely different from Static's. Oh, okay. So, the youngest daughter, may possibly exhibit powers like Static, but I don't think they're going to merge the characters. I think if they do anything, they'll separate them and bring them in. Cause it makes sense. Cause you have Black Lightning like in this show, and he's doing this because he knows he needs to, but I feel like he's at a point in his life where he could possibly pass on the baton, and whether or not he's going to change, he's going to just pass the baton to his daughters, or maybe, you know, he finds Virgil, and he stumbles upon, you know, Black Lightning, or comes onto the scene, emulating Black Lightning, and he just takes him under his wing. I could see something like that happening. So, okay. Yeah. But I'm thinking the way that the showrunner's thinking, that would be like seasons out. Like we probably wouldn't get introduced to this guy for a while. So, but yeah, man.
Could be.
Yeah, man. It's good. It's good, man. It's coming on tonight. It's on Tuesdays, man. Check it out. If you can't catch it live, it's on CW's streaming app. And it's free. It's free of charge. So, you know, check it out. I mean, you just got to watch some commercials. But other than that, yeah. You know. So last up in the TV news, we got some set photos for Jessica Jones season 2, man.
Yeah, buddy.
It is about time. I'm ready.
We've talked before and I've said, I'm not a big fan of Kristen Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's good. Jessica Jones, and I really enjoy the show, even though I'm not a fan of her. So I'm definitely looking forward to season 2.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I've never seen anything of hers. But Jessica Jones, I'm loving it.
The one thing I always remember from her, she was in the only movie I remember seeing her in. She's probably been in more. The only movie I remember seeing her in is she's out of Your League with Alice Eve and.
The guide.
What's
he always
name?
Plays like a nerd or a geek.
He's always with Seth Rogen in Seth Rogen.
Yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but he's in a bunch of Seth Rogen stuff. He was the best buddy in This Is the End.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was okay in that. But what I remember her most from is she was in Breaking Bad.
Oh.
She was Jesse's girlfriend for a little while. She was the landlord for the one place he moves into, and he ends up getting into a thing with. Uh-huh. And he ends up getting her back into drugs.
Dang.
He get back into drugs, and then she goes, it's not really a spoiler alert. It's, you know, at this point, it's like 10 years old, the season I'm talking about, so get over it. But she starts getting Jesse's ear about how he's done all the work, so Walter should be giving him more money. Walter comes over one night to confront Jesse. He finds two of them in bed. She's lying on her back after they'd just been shooting heroin. She starts to choke on her own vomit.
Oh.
And the Walter White character goes to save her. He goes to turn her on her side, and he stops.
Dang.
And he steps back, and he watches her choke to death on her own vomit. It's brutal. Dang. But, you know, it's, hey, man, that's Heisenberg. That's what made that show one of the greatest shows of all time. If you're listening and you've never watched Breaking Bad, you need to go watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
it is potentially the best show ever.
Yeah, I got it. I got to get back in it. I got to get back in it.
Yeah, you
do. Oh. But yeah, that's it for the TV and movie news. Let's jump into some fan casting. I got a little interesting one today.
You do. You do. It's your choice.
So basically what we're going to do today is we are going to fan cast, recast our favorite guilty pleasure film. So it's that one film that, you know, I mean, I literally have no shame. So it's a guilty pleasure for me. So I just say it's one of my favorite films.
It's such an awful movie.
But I love it. So yeah, I'll start things off.
All right.
So my favorite guilty pleasure film is Barry Gordon's The Last Dragon.
Oh my God.
Oh, just a piece of kung fu excellence mixed in there with some disco and everything that was horrible about the late 70s, early 80s.
I really need to get your definition of excellence at some point, because
it's in a state of flux. It's always in a state of flux. But yeah, so it's one of those movies that I'll rewatch again and again. I actually own it on Blu-ray. Like, it's, yeah. That's
get that glow.
That is how it is for me. So so let me I'm gonna fan cast the main three roles. You got Bruce Leroy, you got the character of Vanity, which is his love interest. And then you have one of the greatest characters of all time, Shogun.
Shogun of Harlem. Shogun.
So yeah, so let me give you my picks for these characters. Okay, first up, we'll do Bruce Leroy. Now Bruce Leroy has to be like he almost like rigid. And I don't want to say like super spiritual, like kung fu master on the mountaintop trying to get enlightened and get that glow. You know what I'm saying? So for me, the only actor that I really feel like actually looks like Bruce Leroy and can pull this role off is Alfred Enoch. And now, if you guys watch How to Get Away with Murder, if you watch How to Get Away with Murder, he plays Wes. He plays Wes on How to Get Away with Murder. He's also on the Harry Potter series. He plays Dean Thomas on the Harry Potter series. I mean, this guy on How to Get Away with Murder, he moves with like the stiffness, like it's not like a bad thing for me. He has great posture and a great skeletal structure to play Bruce Leroy. And I think he would kill it in that role. Just got to teach him a little kung fu and he's all good. I mean, look, if you could teach Finn Jones and you can cast him as Iron Fist, then you can cast Alfred Enoch as Bruce Leroy. Yo, Finn Jones, man. He was struggling on Iron Fist. I can say that.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Oh, man. All right, so next up, we have the character of Vanity. Now, I had two actresses that I thought could play Vanity, but I think just off of star power alone and the fact that, I mean, Vanity was not like, she wasn't like super present in the film, but like, she was necessary. And you know, she's going to be a celebrity. She was a celebrity outside of this. She was a singer outside of Last Dragon. So I picked a actress/singer as well. And I'm casting Rihanna as Vanity. I think she would be a perfect Vanity.
No.
I think she would be a perfect Vanity. We could do dance hall. It could be a dance hall discotheque type Joan. And that's where Bruce Leroy meets her when he saves her life out in the streets or whatever.
No, I was going to say, I don't think Rihanna can act her way out of a paper bag. And then I remembered the movie.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Really say it was perfect.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm trying to still maintain the level of cheese that was in that movie. So, you know, I got to cast accordingly. Now, Alfred Enoch is legit actor. But I think that he could slum it a little bit and do The Last Dragon. All right, so my last character is going to be the Shogun of Harlem. Now, my fan casting for this character has evolved over the years. So at first it was going to be Busta Rhymes, because Busta Rhymes from back in the day, skinny Busta Rhymes with the dreads. This is serious. We can make it. You know what I'm saying? Like that Busta Rhymes.
He pretty much was Shownuff back in the day.
And I think in one of his videos, he dressed up as Shownuff.
I'm pretty sure he definitely did.
And I think it was in that video. Yeah. I want to say it was that video.
It might have been.
So originally I wanted Busta Rhymes, but like Busta Rhymes is not like thin like Shownuff anymore. Like he's mad hulking now. He looked like he ate the old Busta Rhymes, so he can't be Shownuff. there's one actor that I think would be perfect for Shownuff, and his name is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and you better not forget the second. And if you know this guy, he was on Baywatch. He played Sergeant Ellerby. He was the guy that was always hassling them, telling them they needed to stay out of police matters. But he's more famously known for his role as Cadillac in The Get Down. And he was like the main like disco king of Harlem. If Shownuff was a dancer, that's who his character was in The Get Down. So I definitely think he would be perfect for that role. He would add a level of gravitas to that role. I think it would be fun watching him and Alfred Enoch kind of go at odds in that film. So yeah, that's The Last Dragon fan cast.
All right, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Now, I was having a real hard time with it.
Okay.
You know, as far as I've got maybe one or two like really guilty pleasure movies that everybody else can look at and go like, my main, as far as movies go, my main guilty pleasure is probably Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, man.
But you can't, there's nobody in that movie you can take. Like,
nah.
The only important part of the entire movie is Sam Jackson. You can't change
Sam Jackson. Can't recast Sam Jackson.
You can't. It's just not allowed. So I'm looking through my movies, looking through my list. It's not per se guilty pleasure, but I'm going to kind of roll with it and see if it'll count. I probably won't count, but I'm going with it anyway. So I'm going to call my guilty pleasure, I'm going to go TV show, and I'm going to go with Doctor Who.
Okay.
I think that's fair enough to call guilty pleasure, because I'll watch that over anyway. That's my show. It's been my show since I was a kid.
It's a very exclusive show.
So my initial thought was, I'd love to see Benedict Cumberbatch as the Doctor, but that's too obvious.
Yeah.
I think most people who watch the show would love to see Benedict Cumberbatch as the Doctor.
Yeah.
Because he's Sherlock, he's good at Doctor Strange, he's perfect as everything, he'd be good in that. So I'm thinking, who would I rather see play the Doctor? Who is on here that would be my guilty pleasure, my personal guilty pleasure to play the Doctor?
Oh, God.
And I came across another TV series, another sci-fi series, whose lead character I would love to see play the Doctor. It would be completely different.
Okay.
And the British people would be really pissed because it's an American actor.
Oh, man.
Actually, it's a Canadian actor. I would love to see Nathan Fillion play the Doctor.
Oh, wow.
It would be a little bit of a mix of Captain Mal and Castle in the same character leading that show. And I think he would be awesome as the Doctor.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I think he would be a lot of fun as that.
You know, when you said guilty pleasure, I thought you were going to say Nick Cage, yo.
Oh, good God, no. No. Get out of here, Nick Cage.
Ugh. Oh, man.
I want something I'd actually want to watch. So I would love to see Nathan Fillion as the Doctor on Doctor
Who. Okay. Well, yeah, I could get with that. That's actually very watchable.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was good. All right, so I'm going to really have to dig in the bag for next week's fan cast. Either that or we'll change the topic entirely. But I think I'm going to stay with the fan cast for a little bit because I have a few more ideas. So, yeah. So until next week, folks, that's it for the fan cast. So, let's dig into some reviews. We're going to talk about some movies and we're going to talk about some TV reviews. Now I know you haven't watched this movie yet, Professor, but I'll just dig into it and then, you know,
yeah,
we'll roll into the TV review. So over the weekend, I got an opportunity to watch one of DC's new animated films called Gotham by Gaslight. And it's an Elseworlds story that takes place during the time of Jack the Ripper in London, in London. And so basically we follow Batman in that time period trying to solve the murders that are taking place by Jack the Ripper. We get introduced to like a lot of familiar characters that we've seen in the Batman lore. So we get to see Poison Ivy, we get to see Selina Kyle, we get to see James Gordon, we get to see Harvey Bullock, we get to see Harvey Dent. Who else we get to see? We get to see a lot. There's a lot of different characters in there. Even like a Harley Quinn type character. But she comes in a package that's unfamiliar at first. You don't recognize that it's Harley. But if it wasn't for the fact that the voice actress that does Harley's voice does this character's voice, you wouldn't know that it was Harley Quinn. And then you get to see all three Robins, just like they're just like young kids, you know, like they're young pickpockets. So you get to see Dickie, Jason Todd, and you get to see Tim Drake, and they're all there. Alfred's there always, you know what I'm saying? So, but it was a really good movie. Hugo Strange is there. Like, there's a lot of characters in this film, and they jump around with solving the case of who Jack the Ripper is. The MO is the same. He stalks the knights and he attacks women of the night. Basically, all the women that he deems or rules as unfit. You know what I'm saying? Like the quote unquote garbage of the city. And so you follow Batman Bruce Wayne as he tries to solve this case. And you see him, you know, connect with the different characters in this alternate reality universe. And it's a joy to watch, man. The action's good. Cause I mean, you see Batman, he doesn't do a lot of acrobatics, but you see him do adequate acrobatics for the time for what he could learn. Okay. You know, it's heavy boxing as far as the action is concerned. It's just great. I like the suit. The suit's awesome. Just watching the story unfold. And the big twists in this movie are just incredible. If you're a big fan of Batman, if you're a big fan of DC's animated universe, which I feel like they've been crushing their animated work.
Their animated stuff is awesome.
Yeah. You'll definitely like Gotham by Gaslight. It was a good watch. I enjoyed it, and I was just floored by the end of the movie. So yeah, it's a good one. It's a thumbs up for me. Definitely go check it out if you can. You can rent it. It's out on digital download, and I'm sure you can rent it at any Redbox or whatever the case may be. So yeah, there it is. So let's jump right into the TV reviews, man. We got last week coming up. We'll talk about all the Arrowverse DC shows, and then we'll wrap it up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And maybe we'll introduce a new show that people should be watching if you aren't watching it. So yeah. So let's move through it. Go ahead. All right. So first up, we'll we'll talk about Supergirl a little bit. I know you didn't. Did you watch it? You didn't watch it? Have you been?
I am behind. I haven't been given it the chance that I said I would give it. It's tough for me to watch, man.
We'll get you in there. We'll get you in there. Just real quick. Just slide in there. It's good. It's good. Because right now the main antagonist right now is a threat. Honestly, that Kara she's not able to beat. Like, this is the toughest season for Kara. She's lost a lot. She's trying to balance herself, but then, you know, who she lost last season in Mon-El is back. And it's just like a whole awkward thing, watching this relationship between her and Mon-El, because things have changed for Mon-El. Right. Without giving any too many spoilers, for people to, you know, give it a watch, but it things have changed for him. So it's like now he can't be with Kara. So, on top of that, Kara's facing a threat that she really can't take down. This threat doesn't have her weaknesses, but it has all her strengths. So, you know, this new threat in the form of Rain is one that I'm welcoming, because it's like you always like to have those insurmountable odds. And it's like, you know, Flash and Arrow, they can have threats. They have threats that could destroy their lives. But Supergirl's right. Kryptonian, so it's harder to take her down. So it's always good to see when the showrunners are thinking and say, how can we push the limits? How can we make this a threat to Kara in a way that'll keep people involved, keep people engaged, but still make it believable when she overcomes it? So
still have it make sense, right?
Yeah. So last week's episode was great. It's just a continuation of basically the storyline that we've been seeing. But there's a new threat. Now she's been fighting Rain, but now she's finding out that, hey, there's two other what they call world killers that are on Earth, basically like sleeper agents. So they're trying to find these world killers and trying to take them down or suppress them before they become a threat. So, man, the series is really good, man. I recommend Supergirl to anybody that's looking for a new superhero show to get into. Supergirl is definitely that work. It's worth a look. So, and it's grown. It's definitely grown as a series since it started. So, yeah. So, Flash last week. Let's talk about that.
That show is just getting better as it goes, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but every week I think that show just seems to get better and better. It's just written so well.
Yeah. And it's just like, you now that we find him, Barry, in this situation, he's in jail. So now, pretty much the elongated man and Vibe, they're kind of taking the reins as the supers of the group, you know, occasionally joined by Caitlin, Killer Frost, when they say, you know, some puppies are getting killed or something, because that wakes her up. So it's like the Hulk. I'm not sure if I'm really feeling that, though. I'm not sure if I'm feeling it. It works for right now, but I just kind of wish she would just have the control. I wish it would kind of affect her character. Like, she's a little cold, but she's still Caitlin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is kind of silly that they have to have some kind of trigger.
Yeah,
that sets her off every week. Because the one thing they don't show you is how she reverts back.
Right.
Like, the one time they showed it recently, it just happened.
Right.
Like, it was like, you know, somebody, I forget exactly what situation was, somebody had a hostage or something, and she just turned from Killer Frost back to Caitlin like that. Like, there was nothing to it.
Yeah.
But in order for her to change the other way, you got to spark her in some way to anger her. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to get used to it. I mean, I like Killer Frost. I like her as this kind of like anti-hero type character. Not that I'm saying I don't like Caitlin. I just want them to find some kind of way to merge the characters into one entity.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with it being a split personality, but figure out some way where she can summon it at will. You know what I mean? It'll just work, I think, a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like something like Firestorm, you know what I'm saying? Where she's like psychically present, but it's Killer Frost doing the thing. You know, something like that.
I mean, that could be what they're trying to get away from because we already had Firestorm and we just technically lost it. But it would make a lot more sense to do it that way.
Yeah. So, but Flash is good. I mean, the whole way that episode ended. Now there's more threats. We weren't sure about. And this is the thing. All right. So every week we do this. We're assuming that you watch the show. So we're talking about the show. Yes. So this is a review. This is a discussion about the show. So every time this is spoilers. Every time we do this, this is spoilers. So if you don't want to know anything about the show, now is your time to leave. I didn't really do any of that for Supergirl because I feel like as a whole, I think that show is probably not getting watched as much as it could be. So I try to not spoil that much, but right. I will get into spoiling that eventually. You know what I'm saying? So just so that you know, you guys out there listening, we'll be talking about these shows in depth. So we'll be, you know, talking about some major plot points. So if you want to go ahead and skip through to the end, go ahead and skip through to the end. All right, so back to Flash. So that end, basically, when we find out the Warden is basically selling metas on the black market to the, what's her name? Katie Sackhoff character.
Oh yeah, I can't remember the character's name. But yeah, it is her villain character. Yeah.
So he's selling the metas to her, on the black market so that she can use them for whatever she needs to use them for. So it's like we finally got to a point where Barry was kind of getting into the groove. You know, he was helping the Dave character played by Goldberg, trying to find out who framed him. And why he's in prison right now, try to get him out of there. He actually goes to the point of getting him out of prison and taking him to this place in China that he wanted to go. And so now he's there, but the Warden caught him on video doing his Flash thing. So now the Warden knows he's Flash and he's getting sold on the black market. And he's in some kind of special meta solitary confinement.
Warden, my man, Jubal Early from the last episode of Firefly.
I'm saying. The guy who we thought for years might end up playing Blade.
Either Blade or Black Panther, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, too.
Yeah, yep. So it's like, it's good to see him. It's good to see him on TV again, man. I'm not going to.
Absolutely.
It's always a joy to see that guy because he's good. Like his voice is so like, it's like smooth yet terrifying. So it's cool to see his character, and I have no idea what to expect from him moving into the next episode. Because they're basically going to cut off Iris. She's not going to be able to see him.
Right.
So that's going to raise all kinds of red flags. So I'm interested to see how tonight's episode is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to see how every episode is going to be at this point because it's just, you know, the show's just getting to the point where it's so good to watch. So much
right.
To watch, so
yeah, man. Yeah, man. Definitely enjoyed it. Black Lightning last week was really good, too. And in an effort to not spoil, I know you're going to watch it anyway. So I'm not even going to. I'm not even going to worry about it. But like we get to follow his oldest daughter, her powers, and she's exploring those powers and she's trying to develop those powers. Stemming off of last week's, was it last week? No, it might have been the week before. So this is where my theory is, as far as there's a possibility where the two universes could collide, because in Arrow we got a Easter egg about the separate team, Mr. Terrific, Wild Dog, and Black Canary, and they're all talking about, oh, what could the name of our group be? And Mr. Terrific says, oh, we could be the Outsiders. And Black Canary says, oh, that's a good book. I don't think it'd make a good team name for us, this, that, and the other. So it's like they reference it, and they reference it as a comic book within their universe. So on to Black Lightning, there's an episode that just passed where they mention the Outsiders again. So his oldest daughter is in the library and she's talking and flirting with this librarian that's in there. And she starts talking about, she's looking down at this book that she has in her pocket, but it's like, you know, she's checking her out or whatever. So she's trying to get her flirt game on. So the daughter asks the librarian, like, oh, what book is that? And she replies, it's like, oh, it's The Outsiders. It's like a great book, this, that, and the other. So in the Lightning Verse world, or at least in the Black Lightning series, The Outsiders is also a comic book that they reference. So it's like, to hear the group name Outsiders listed more than once within these series, it's like, it's leading me to think that they're setting up possibly bringing Black Lightning over into the Arrowverse, and we could see him possibly. I would love for the Wild Dog, Mr. Terrific, Black Canary group to come over to Black Lightning as like a support team. You know what I'm saying? A group that he can rely on when things get a little heavy. And it makes sense because Black Lightning in the original comics, in the original Outsiders, was a founding member. He founded the group, The Outsiders. So it will be interesting to see how that goes. It was just nice to notice that link in the Black Lightning series. But watching these characters, Jill Scott finally came on as her character. She's playing she's higher up than Tobias Well. So she's like the crime boss. She is the mobster. She is the godfather of this world. So watching her terrify Tobias Well, like, that's crazy. And she came on the scene like just as smooth as ever. She kind of just like says, you know, we have a problem. We need to get rid of it, because it's like the church is scheduling a protest of all the violence that's been on the street and the violence of the 100 gang, who is like the main threat right now in this Black Lightning universe. And just a lot goes down. Like, basically Black Lightning, his costume gets developed, man. We get to see him get into that next stage of his costume. He gets focused beams for his electricity. It's good. I'm loving where the show is going. I'm loving the state of flux that his costume is in. So we're not waiting every season for a new update. He's getting updates like every other episode. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's different because you don't normally see him change them up that often.
Yeah.
You know, like Arrow, Flash changed once or twice. Arrow has changed a couple of times. But they changed not like mid-season. They changed different seasons.
Yeah.
So to kind of keep upgrading it week to week is kind of an interesting little twist. I kind of like it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So Black Lightning is definitely one of those heavy hitting shows. It's a welcome addition to the Berlanti universe, and I'm really excited for where it's going. So I'm looking forward to this week's episode because it's getting better. Like, it's hitting hard. So that's what's up. Next up, let's talk about Arrow. So what happened last week? Refresh my memory.
Let's see if I can remember what happened last week. What was last week's episode? You know what? I missed the last part of last week. I didn't go back to watch it. I forgot all about it. Last week was, I know what happened. Even though I heard about it. The one guy gets killed.
Oh yeah, the senator, councilman, right?
There's a councilman that does get killed, yes, but the Black Canary's, I guess you'd call him her boyfriend.
Yes,
that guy dies at the end of the episode. Yeah. That's one I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Because I remember I watched the beginning of it and I distracted and I missed like the last 15 minutes. I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, the vigilante, yeah.
But it's been real good. I mean, it's,
oh man,
the way they've been doing the season has been very, very good.
Yeah. And like we mentioned last week, the team separation has definitely kicked everything into overdrive. Because there's definitely some tension between the groups, but they're tolerating each other. And you can see like how much of a weight it's becoming. Because now the separation is hitting the team hard. Because they split up, they weren't able to cover each other's backs, and Vigilante lost his life as a result. And all this to find out while all this is happening, Ali's still shelling out. How much is it? 10 million a day? 10 million a week or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
To Caden James, like all this money is like he's basically giving money to this terrorist who's holding his city hostage, basically, because he believes that the arrow killed his son. And we find out that videotape is all doctored. So it's like, where is all this coming from? There's more questions now than there are answers. So
yeah, there's somebody else, I think, somewhere in the background sitting there, or somebody we've seen is a little more involved than we know. So this could be interesting as this gets closer and closer to the end.
Yep. Yeah, man. So I'm really interested to see how this arc unfolds, because it's been really good this season. It's been full of like intrigue and mystery and enough characters to go around. I feel like nobody's overwhelming the screen. I don't feel like there's too many people on the screen. It's just a nice balance right now. So, yeah.
Definitely digging it.
Yeah, man. And then to round it all out, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man, which is now on hiatus for the month of February.
So upset about that.
Yes, that really hurts, but I mean, they've been hitting so hard with every episode, and it's like we're finding out more about why they need to go back to the past, or should they really go back to the past? And we see the character Flint kind of developing his abilities, and it's just great to see, man. It's great to see.
I don't know where it was exactly, where they changed over, if they changed over writers or something, but. Mm-hmm. Last couple years in that show, man, have just been so much fun. There's just such good shows to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of people stop watching in the first season, maybe second season. And if you did, you really should kick back into it, because it's gotten so much better since then.
Yeah, it's worth
it. It's such a good watch at this point.
And that's how I've always felt about Joss Whedon TV shows. Like, he'll get into the swing of it. It starts off slow at first, but it builds to something great. And once it gets there, it takes off from there. It's why his shows are so great. He spends time setting a foundation and building the world that we're in. And once he builds it, then he just goes to telling stories within that world. And so it's like, just hang with the show, man. If you stopped watching after first season or midway through first season, get back into it, man. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Definitely worth it. Characters are really well written.
Yeah.
Stories are really well written. Yeah. With the direction they're going in, it's a lot of fun to keep up with and watch. Just an exciting show every week.
Yeah, man. Yep, always a joy, man. So that's pretty much it for our recap of TV from last week. So, Professor, let me ask you this. You have any shows that you want to recommend to the Boss fam? So anything that's out right now that's really tickling your fancy and you're like, hey, everybody should be watching this right now.
So I can't completely recommend it because I haven't started it yet, but I've been hearing nothing but good things about this Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
The show on Netflix.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to maybe try to plan and start watching it either tonight or maybe tomorrow. It's supposed to snow a little bit of a mess around here tomorrow, first thing in the morning, so I may be working from home myself tomorrow. So if I do that, maybe I'll check it out for some background noise and put that on my other monitor and check it out while I'm working. But that's going to be my plan. That's the next one I'm going to check out. It's supposed to be pretty good. So
yeah.
So I would say check that out. I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. Altered Carbon is definitely a series to watch. For me, I'm gonna recommend a series that I've been into since the first season, and it's been going on. I think we're in the second season now. It might be second or third season. No, it might be more than that. Jeez, it when you get into a good show, I feel like time goes by so quickly for each season. So, you know, I'm going to recommend this show. It's a Greg Berlanti executive produced show. So, of course, you know that the story is going to be good. It's called Blind Spot. It's on NBC.
Yeah, and I'm so far behind on that.
Yo, oh my gosh. There's points like there's times when you're watching a show and you're like, all right, This is going to go for maybe two seasons. Like, this is not going to go. If they really want to tell the story and make an impact, they're going to tell it in two seasons and disappear. That's all they need to do to be legendary. So this was one of those shows where I was like, yo, they're going to go into this next season, and then that's it. And that's it. They're pretty much going to have to wrap up the show. And it seemed like they were wrapping up the show. And then the hook on the end of last season. So now we have more cases to figure out, more tattoos to discover. Like, you really, you got to watch this show. Jamie Alexander is one of the greatest TV action stars I've ever seen. Like, she is legit. This show feels like Jason Bourne on steroids. It's like a little bit of Jason Bourne with the skill and artistry of John Wick. Like, the show is on fire, and I love the characters. Even the subplots are great, but watching them try to solve these bigger cases as a whole, as to what they're leading into, is just it's definitely something I feel like everybody should check out. So check it out. Blind Spot comes on Fridays now, Friday prime time on NBC. It's a good show. Check it out. Yeah, man. So that's my recommendation for this week. So let's move into what's coming out into theaters this week, starting Friday. So only three movies really coming out this week. We got 50 Shades Freed, which I believe is the conclusion of the 50 Shades of Grey series. I'm sure there's a lot of ladies out there that can't wait to see how this concludes. I'm not gonna hold you. That trailer looks crazy. Like, for me, it was like, all right, the first one looked like, okay, this was just like rated NC-17 fantasy type stuff. Right. And now we're getting into psychological thriller territory. Like, it's crazy people coming after them. It looks like there's intense action moments. Like, so it's built into something that everybody's kind of crazy about right now. So, you know, that's coming out Friday. If that's your speed, then go check out 50 Shades Freed. Ooh, I got bars. next up on the list, we got Peter Rabbit, starring James Corden, Daisy Ridley, and Margot Robbie. It's Peter Rabbit, man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's the childhood story that we all grew up with. It looks funny. I'll probably be waiting for that one for DVD. I like James Corden. I like James Corden. I was with him when he was on Doctor Who, so you know, I was excited to see him kind of like take off from there. So it's like he was on Doctor Who one moment, and then he ended up getting a night show, so that was cool. So yeah, I'll give it a look once it comes out on DVD or digital download or something. and then the last movie coming out this week is the 1517 to Paris, which is based on true events, and surprisingly enough is going to be retold by the actual servicemen who were a part of thwarting this terrorist attack. The cast is Alex Scarlatos, Anthony Sadler, and Spencer Stone. These are the servicemen who were actually involved in thwarting this terrorist attack on this 1517 train to Paris. And watching the events unfold, the people that have, it basically tells the story of the people that have impacted their lives and the things that they've learned building up for them to be able to handle this moment. So, That's going to be an interesting one. I'd be interested to catch that on a matinee just so I can see what all the buzz is about. Right. I'm always going to be worried when regular people who don't have any formal acting experience start taking on roles to kind of tell the story. But I mean, this is basically their story. So if anybody can pull the emotions and pull how it would have went down, it would be these three guys. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones experienced it. They know what it's all about.
So. Yeah, so that should be an interesting retelling. I mean, I always that's something to worry about too. Like, don't you think like this is like kind of high intensity to be revisiting this type of situation? But who knows? Who knows? It might turn out to be really good and maybe open a door for stories to be told this way. So I'll be interested to see how this unfolds.
Yeah, I mean. it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go really well or it's going to be really awful.
Right, yeah.
You kind of hope it's really good, so.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see soon enough.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, so that's it for the boss's desk today. I want to bring up something that we talked about last week. Something that we're doing here at the boss's desk. We're trying to give back, and we're doing it through the Extra Life fundraising campaign. So what Extra Life does is it unites thousands of gamers around the world to play video games for a 24-hour period in support of their local Miracle Network Hospital. Since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. So what we get to do is we'll play for a straight 24-hour period, just playing games, raising funds for these kids. Our game day is going to be this year is going to be November 3rd. And we'll join thousands of other gamers and just dedicate the entire day to play games and get donations from all our friends and the boss fam. You know what I'm saying? You guys are our family. So, you know, we're asking you for your help. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, which is going to be the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So what we're asking you to do is just join us in our effort to try and raise money for this great cause. We already got donations setting up and people have been helping us out. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that's asking and inquiring. We'll have a click to donate link on our webpage. So just feel free to check that out. Click the donate link and donate whatever you can. We're not asking for a set amount. We're just asking you to chip in, asking you to help. And if everybody that subscribes to our page and just listens to our podcast, if everybody just gives a little, we could really make some damage this year, do some damage this year and really help out a cause that's worthwhile. So, yeah, man. So just look out for the post. We'll give you more details. What we'll probably do is on game day, we'll do a live cast, live stream, and you know, we'll probably talk about some geek news items and you know, just have fun playing our games. So you'll see us like screaming and laughing and joking, just you know, team killing. You know, that's how it goes. Friendly fire is always the number one way that we go in most of the times that we play games.
It gets ugly, folks.
It gets real ugly. what I'll probably do is set up an event. We'll probably have you know guests come through, and you'll hear people, and we'll talk about geek news, any reviews, anything that's coming out. We'll talk about that stuff too. Definitely. But we'll be out there, man. And we just hope that you guys can donate to us on this cause and help us give back and shed a little light in this world and do something positive.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media outlets. We're on Facebook under the Boss's Desk, Twitter at the Boss's Desk. We're even on YouTube. Search for us at the Boss's Desk. Sometimes we'll put like impromptu reviews and stuff on there. We still do some writing, so that'll be up on the site as well. We have these podcasts that are, you know, currently being updated, so you can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Just subscribe to the podcast, and you know, you can get these updates as we release the episodes. So if you have any questions about anything that you heard in the show or something that you just want us to talk about, just send everything to us on Twitter. Just tweet at the Boss's Desk or send us an email to questions@thebossesdesk.com, and you give us your question, give us your comment, and you might see us share it on a future podcast at a later date, man. So you know, here on our regular podcast, and we'll love to show what you're sharing and answer your questions. So yeah, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk, the Big Boss and the Professor, and we'll catch you guys next week.
See you.